We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Once again, it's time to take time for Jesus. And we're glad to be coming into your homes or wherever you're receiving us, on the computer, your automobiles. We're happy to report victory in Jesus. He's still on the throne, and he's alive forevermore. A lot of people seems to think otherwise and things of that nature, but that's their privilege, I suppose. Everybody's to his own way of thinking, but God is alive, and he is doing well. It is we that need him, and not that he needs us. It's not that we loved him, but he loved us and gave himself as a sacrifice for yours and my salvation. So as we go before the Lord in prayer at this time, remember, my friend, that he and him alone paid your sin debt, a debt that you owed, and he paid it for you, a debt that he didn't owe. So remember that. Father God, we thank you today for your love and your mercy and for the things that you have done for us and blessed us with in the material things of this world. But we're not leaning upon those, for they are only temporary things, but we got our mind and our hearts and eyes set upon the things eternally with thee above. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you again for this opportunity that we can bring forth and lift up your name across the airways and to the homes and to the hearers of those that would tune us in. We just praise you and we thank you for all of thy many blessings and giving unto us this opportunity once again to lift up that precious name of Jesus. We thank you for all things and we give you praise in all things. So as we pray one for another, may God richly bless you, my friends out there, those that have wrote to us. We appreciate the mail we've got and those that have been into the places and touched on us through the computer in one place or another. We appreciate that, and we just thank God for each and every one of you and pray that his blessings will be with you, them that would hear what thus saith the word of God. And I might encourage you once again to read your Bible to see what it has to say, rather than taking somebody else's word for it, but read it and see what it has to say. So we just thank God again for the opportunity. And so as it's this time, as I'm going to turn it over to my wife, she's got something over here I believe you'd be interested in. So at this time, you pray for us as we pray one for another. Here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, I just thank the Lord for the emails that we've gotten this week. I was going to write your names down and everything, but it's always say it comes with the territory. I wrote them down, but I didn't bring them with me. But you know who you are, Alaska and San Diego and Australia, wherever you may be. May the Lord be with you. We are lifting you up in prayer, and I know God's going to answer them. And I just thank the Lord again that I can share things with you. And this is from the Bible Friend. And if you would like to have it, you just write to me, and I'll be glad to get it to you somehow.
It's really
a blessing and everything, and this man really puts out some information, some things that are happening around about the world today. So today I want to share with you the entertainment evangelism. Does this sound something that is happening around about right now? There is a church in the area that's advertising a comedy skit. They have little signs all over the area promoting this event. They will gather a crowd together and tell them jokes to make them laugh and have fun. Through it all, people will be able to see that the church is a fun place full of fun people. Smiles and joking will be the order of the evening. This only reflects the popular attitude of many in the church today regarding outreach to the lost. We will do anything that will attract people to the Lord, regardless of what it is. This is what you call marketing the church. If you offer the people what they want, they'll come. If you eliminate anything that might offend them and offer them everything that will appeal to them, then they will come to church. This line of reasoning has led to churches doing everything under the sun to try and attack the lost. I have seen churches sponsor rock concerts, block parties with alcohol, racing events, carnivals with pony rides, and dunk the pastor for a dollar. I even read of a church that cleared out the chairs in the sanctuary and set up a wrestling ring. Are they going to get the unconverted in a headlock to get them saved? With this kind of approach, is it any wonder that churches are little or no different from the world? Isn't it interesting that when you read the scriptures, you see nothing of this sort happening? When Jesus was here, people flocked to hear him because of the miracles that he performed. When people's lives were transformed, they then brought others to see and hear this man who did all things well. Jesus didn't seek to resort to amusing people so they could be entertained. Rather, he told them the words that ministered life to their souls. They came to him because there was no one else who ever said or did such amazing things as this Jesus. When Jesus sent his disciples to make disciples of all nations, he gave them the charge in the scripture at the top of the page, which says, in repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. These men had to go about and preach to people that were sinners and needed to repent and come to Jesus in order to have their sins forgiven. And this is precisely what the disciples did. When Peter preached to the people gathered in Jerusalem on Pentecost, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He later addressed another crowd and told them, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Paul's own testimony of his mission was this: how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Acts 20:20-21. Consider the example of John the Baptist. He preached publicly out in the wilderness. He preached a fiery message of absolute repentance and the dire consequences of not doing so, Matthew 3:1-12. He openly accosted some of his listeners, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and even called them a generation of vipers. He had no pleasant appearance, no entertainment or anything outward to draw people to come out and hear him, yet the scripture says that Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, in Matthew 3:6. This is because he was God's man at God's time, and God drew the people in. God still blesses the proper preaching of his word. Many in the church today, they can entertain people into the kingdom of God. They think that anything goes. that will gather a crowd and get people to say the sinner's prayer, yet God still says that true life-changing conversion and repentance takes place when the Holy Ghost brings conviction of sin through the preaching of repentance, and the Holy Spirit brings true faith in Jesus through the preaching of the gospel. When the church resorts to entertainment that tickles the fancy, instead of praise proclaiming repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ, they have lost the very mission that Jesus has commanded them to do. And we've said many times, raising your hands, repeating after somebody else is not salvation. You have got to repent yourself. And I know there's others, you know, we've had a little bit of scuttlebutt about it, but I am here to tell you, just calling on the name of the Lord
without repentance
is not going to get it. Repentance is turning away from your sin. You cannot call on Jesus and then go live like the devil. I'm sorry. That is the way it's going to be. No, I'm not sorry. That's the way it is. And if you want to make heaven your home, you have got to repent, turn from your wicked ways, and walk with the Lord. We're self-supporting, and if you would like to help us or you would like to write us and tell us what you think of us, that's fine. The address is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. In fact, you may not even breathe your next breath.
Angels stand in silence as they wait on heaven's border to witness what the Father would not see. Tears from their eyes fall as rain among the thunder as they watch the precious Lamb on Calvary. His last breath is diminished. There's a shout of it is finished. It's over now. They brush their tears away. Returning to surround the throne, they gather round the Father as the hosts of heaven sing this song of praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Redemption.
Praise the Lord. Truly, the Lamb has prevailed. Jesus came into Jerusalem riding upon the foal of an ass, which was prophesied to him, "Behold, your king comes, meek and lowly, riding upon the foal of an ass." My friend, today, if we would realize that the King of Kings came in meek and lowly, but we've got him pictured today as being something more than what he is. And what they've got him pictured to be is, I heard say that they was going to make a movie over there somewhere or another, and we're going to portray him and the apostles as homosexuals. My friend, this world is getting to be something that is going to cause destruction to be brought upon those kind of people. But nevertheless, the Lamb has prevailed. He came into Jerusalem riding upon the foal of an ass. They strawed the palm leaves and the clothes out there, and even began to holler, "Hosanna, Hosanna," to the Son of David, which was the king at that time. But my friend, today, we got to realize that Jesus was not David's son, but he came out of the lineage of David, which Mary and Joseph was in, and were in that the virgin was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and she brought forth the man called Jesus. God manifested in the flesh, came in this world to die for you and I, and bring salvation to them that would believe and trust in him and call upon his name. Calling upon his name is just, a lot of people call upon his name and they use it as a blaspheming, but when calling upon it in repentance, then God hears that request and he gives you that blessed hope that you have, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Without repentance, no man can be saved. But I want you to know and realize today that when Jesus came in there and he would been portrayed for 30 pieces of silver, they brought him before Pilate, and they brought him up there and they condemned him to die. But it was a time and a customary at that time of the year that they would release someone from prison. And so Pilate asked them, who should they release? They had a man by the name of Barabbas, which was convicted of murder and stealing or whatever. But the people hollered out, "Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas." So, my friend, today, that's what the world is calling out today. Away with Jesus. And they are doing that in many ways of trampling that precious blood under their feet for their unbelief and the disobedience to the Word of God. That's why I tried to persuade you to read what the Bible says and see where you stand, and that you may not be guilty of some of the things that people are guilty of and lose your soul. Some people are claiming and they got these things all to worry in. That you give so much to this one and give so much to that one, and God's going to make you rich. God don't need your money, my friend. It helps the people, true enough, but yet and still, he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He even owns the hills that they stand on. He owns it all. He created it all. It's his. He can do what he wants to with it. But the Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. But a lot of people today is a hollering away with him. Crucify him. Do away with him. You're taking the prayer out of schools, and the mothers are aborting their children right when they almost just a little bit after conception and everything, and killing our babies and all these things, and they expect God's going to be merciful to him because somebody said that God was merciful. Are we going to rely upon the mercy of God and in our sins and rely upon him through his grace that may prevail over our sins? My friend, it ain't going to happen that way. Paul made mention about, shall we continue in our sin that grace may prevail, or that it may provide? But God's grace is not going to override your sins, my friend, except you repent. Many of the people today are getting ready to celebrate his resurrection or his death, and they're going to crucify him. Here a few months ago, back in December the 25th, which was not his birthday, but they claim it is. But anyway, they brought him and laid him in a manger. Now, today is getting prepared to crucify him. Those in the Bible at that time hollered out, "Crucify him," and the world is crucifying him every day in their hearts because they're rejecting him and rejecting his truth and his word. And they're going their own merry way, seeking after the rudiments of this world and the sins thereof and committing all kinds of sin. The Bible speaks about in the last days that these things would come as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. But yet there's somebody that comes along and said, "Oh, the church won't be here." Where are you at, my friend? Wake up. Smell the roses, so they say. Drink a cup of coffee. Get yourself woke up out of your stoop and you believe that the church is not going to go through any tribulation because we're in tribulations. Look at about all the things that Jesus said that was going to transpire before his return after the bride of Christ. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in various different places, and all these things are happening all around us. All these things are going on, and the church ain't gone yet. Praise God, man. I just prayed. He said, when we see these things that coming to pass, to look up and rejoice, for you know that your redemption draweth nigh. If you want to rejoice in the presence of God, then look up, my friend, and rejoice. If you know the King of Kings and he's in your life and you've been born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb and claim him for your Savior, then you need to look up and rejoice. It ain't a joke. It ain't something other that you can go down the street any old time of the day and pay a quarter to see or a dollar and a half or whatever. And when you're going to go and have fun, you can have fun by serving God, by talking about that man called Jesus. And then when you look around and see what's happening in the world, the Bible says to look up and rejoice, for we know that our redemption draweth nigh. My friend, we come into the place that we're in that Jesus spoke about when he was yet with them, and he spoke to them about about his crucifixion. He predicted it. He said what they were going to do to him, and they done all these things. And then he told about his burial. Then he told about his resurrection. And you know, I've read that in all the books in the Bible, and I've studied it out, and I ain't found no place in there yet that we're in that Santa Claus had anything to do with his birthday, and the rabbits and the Easter egg had nothing to do with his resurrection. My friend, this is all a bunch of junk. It's paganism, but yet and still most all of your churches that claim to be full of the Holy Ghost, they go and participate in these things. Hide eggs. Oh, the children got, teach them about Jesus. That Jesus said, except you come to him as a little child, you will in no wise enter in. Teach them about the things of God instead of the things that which is going to grow up in them and just liable to cause them to lose their soul and go to hell. My friends, it's time we wake up to realization. The Word of God speaks for itself. I don't have to prop it up. It's going to stand by itself because he said that none of it would fall short, that it'll all stand. And I want you to understand that these things that are wrote to us in the Word of God is going to come to pass and be fulfilled. Every dot of the I and every jot of the tittle and the cross of the T is going to be fulfilled. And you may as well get used to the idea that God is sovereign and he don't need you, but we need him. You may as well get used to the thing that there is a place called heaven and a place called hell. The hell was made for the devil and his angels, and it's already enlarged itself to accommodate them that wants to go. And many are traveling their own because he said that straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life everlasting, but broad is the way and broad is the gate that leads to destruction. My friend, what road are you traveling on today? Are you getting prepared to paint your eggs and let the Easter bunny, as you call him, lay them? and no such thing. But it's paganism. It's been brought into the church through a bunch of other stuff that was come in because they wanted so much and so many others to be worshiped about these things. My friend, it has nothing to do with his resurrection. That rabbit was nowhere around according to the word of God. There was no rabbit. The only chicken that was there was a rooster crowed and let Peter know that he had denied the Lord three times. And Jesus told him before that night, before the cock crowed, that he would deny him three times. And when Peter denied him the third time, he heard the rooster crow. And that's the only chicken that I found in there that would be in the... But that had something to do with his crucifixion, denial. My friend, are you denying him today? Are you worshiping him in spirit and in truth? Have you got your sins under the blood of Jesus? Have you come to him openly confessing him as your Savior? Or have you slipping around in the dark somewhere or another, raising your hand and said, "Oh, Jesus, come into my heart." My friends, and then you travel right back on the same old road, that raising your hand and asking me to come into your life has done no good to you. You got to repent, turn aside from the sins, and live a different life. Many people today is trying to live on the fence, so they say. It ain't no middle between, my friend. There ain't no gray area. You either you're saved or you're not saved. You're either for God or you're against him. It's plain and simple. But I want you to think about it. If you read your word of God, you read your Bible and find out that what is and what ain't by the reading of the word, and let the watering of the word water your seed that has been planted into you, because the Bible says that to every man that cometh into the world there was a measure of faith give to him. And what you do with that measure of faith, I believe it's at least as a mustard seed. And what you do with it is entirely up to you. You can trust and plant it into the things of God and watch it grow and help you to grow into the kingdom of God, or you can just cast it aside and be nothing to it and not use it anything, and you'll plant it into the world, and the world is going to choke it out, and it's going to destroy you. So if you want life everlasting, you're going to have to come the way the Bible says. And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the door. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So if the church was gone out, as some people think it is, then who's drawing anybody to it? Oh, I admit there's so many of them now, you can't hardly find any of the churches open on Sunday afternoon for the Sunday services. They all closed up. They got other things to do. They're going to be like my wife was reading there. They found some jokes and they found some idle things around to do. They found Disney World and Busch Gardens and all these things attracts them, and they come there. Oh, the children has to have this. Children need God, my friend. You need him. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, you lead your children down the same road you're traveling on, and both of you are going to fall in the ditch and go down into the pits of hell. Where are you going to be at then? Ain't no getting out of it. Once you're there, you're there. It's just plain and simple. Plain and simple. You're either for God or you're against him. And if you're against him, he's going to be against you. And if you're for him, he's going to be for you. He will see that your needs are met. You might want some things that you don't ever get, but then you don't need them to start with. Then maybe you would take a second look at it if you read what the Word of God has to say. For if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what has he got? What's he going to have if he loses his soul? The world is not going to save you, my friends. And that old thing going around that he with the at the end that has the most toys are the ones that win. That one there, all them toys is going to get you down there to where if that's your idea of winning and going into the kingdom of God, you're going to be badly mistaken, my friend. Oh, it's time we realize that God's word is truth. It's time we realize that we need Him. Now, He can go on without you and me, but we need Him. You need Him for the very breath that you breathe every day, fresh from His nostrils. Because if He stops it off, my friend, you are gone. And if you ain't got your dues paid up and ain't got your sins under the blood, you're gone, gone. So it's up to you to make up your mind about it. Jesus just merely said that he that is athirst, come unto me and drink. You can come unto him, but he paid your sin debt. You don't owe it no more. He took your sins as well as mine and all theirs and nailed them to the cross. He came into this world for that purpose. He rode into Jerusalem and them hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna. And a few days later, they was hollering, crucify him, crucify him. And they crucified him, nailed him to a cross. And when they took him down and they brought him into a tomb that which was a rich man's tomb, never a man body laid in it, and they laid him in that tomb, and he was crucified between two thieves, and he was laid in there with the crooks and the outlaws and things, and he was laid in a rich man's grave. He never wrote a book in his life. He never done anything like some people doing and claiming they're going to write books of this and write books of that and everything and making a lot of money, but you can't, it's not for sale, but you can't get it without sending him a $25 love. I want to know the difference between giving somebody something and paying for it. My friend, today it's come to the time that we're in, people are making merchandise out of the souls of people because of some of the ways that they're laying it out. Jesus came and died for your sins, gave you the opportunity to be free from your sins, and he said it didn't cost you nothing but the world. And the world's not going to make it into the kingdom of God. And you won't either if you choose to serve the world. Oh, Lord, my friend, listen to me. Judas, he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, he probably might have thought, well, they won't do much to him. But when they began to lay that whip on his back until the flesh was torn apart until it hung down over his buttocks and you could expose the bones, then they laid the cross on him and he carried it up and they got another man there for Cyrene to carry his cross up there. They put him on it, stripped him of all of his dignity, stripped him from his clothes and all, and hung him on a cross there. The picture shows he got a tunic wrapped around his bottom part there, but the Bible, the history there says he stripped him. They laid him out. All of his garments was down there on the ground, and them people was casting lots for him. So they stripped him of his dignity, exposed him to all that would look upon him. My friend, today, but he was there. And when he was on the cross, that partition in the holiest of holies of there on the temple was rent from top to bottom and allowed you and I, as because we were in darkness without any hope, out of the commonwealth of Israel, it didn't have any hope, but because of his finished works on Calvary, he brought us in, would give us an opportunity that we could be grafted in to the olive tree, to the root, in other words, that we're in, that we could come forth and bring forth fruits of repentance unto him, giving him praise and honor, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. But a lot of people cried out, crucify him. A lot of people today are still crucifying him because of their way that they're doing things, the lies that they're speaking about, and all these things that they're doing and going out. My friend, it's time we realize that we're living in the last days. Jesus spoke about him. He was crucified, laid in a tomb, and he arose the third day like he said he would. But many people, they didn't believe in resurrection back then, and a lot of people doesn't believe in it today. But I want you to know he is alive forevermore. Talk to him last night. Talk to him this morning, and I know he's alive. because he's within me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's where my hope is at, in him, not in the material things of this world or in the White House up there leaning upon the arm of the government to support me. I'm looking to Jesus to take me through the trials and the tribulations, and when it's all over with and I give my life for him, if it happens to be that way, or if I just lay down one day and don't get up, I know that whom that I have served, and I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him, and I've committed my life unto him, and he is able to keep me and bring me forth in the last days. And when he comes back for his church, my friend, there's going to be a lot of sad walking and some slow talking, or sad talking and some slow walking about that time, because people are going to say, to them that are not looking for him, he's going to come as a thief, but them that are looking for him, my friend, is going to look up and see him and rejoice. They're going to hear the trumpet sound. The world's going to know that he's come on the scene. Because the Bible says that they run to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. You may get by in this world with a lot of your junk, but you ain't going to get by with nothing, because God knows all, sees all, and he's going to pay everyone his rightfully dues at what he's owed. If you have that eternal life gift that he's going to give you, you'll receive it. If it's eternal damnation because of your unbelief and your ways of sin, then you're going to get that. But my friend, today it's time we woke up to realize that there's only one God, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism we're baptized into, one body. There's no man in this world can set up on a throne anywhere and claim to be God and forgive you of your sins and tell you you don't need to read your Bible, he'll interpret it for you. There's no one that can do that. No other man can give you no salvation in no other name given among man but at the name of Jesus. So where are you going to be if you trusted in the arm of flesh, and when you come to find out that arm of flesh, you didn't have it, can't do nothing for you? But it'd be too late then, as it was in the days of Noah. They didn't believe that the rain was going to come because they never had seen no rain before. But I want you to know, when God told Noah to go into the ark and he shut the door, the clouds began to roll up and turn gray, and the thunder roared and the lightning flashed and the water began to pour out. There were some people that believed in it then, but it was too late. Didn't nobody get on the ark, Noah and his family? Abraham questioned the Lord about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, well, for 50 people, would you spare them? And 50 people, I'll spare them. And it come on 40, 20, and it got on down to 10. And Abraham didn't say no more about him. And he said even for 10, he would have spared them. But he went and destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, because there was not even 10 souls. There was only 3 that got out. There was 4 there, but one of them had to look back, and that's what's the matter with the world today. We're looking back to into the world to see what we're leaving about. See what we're leaving. Honey, whatever you leave in this world, it ain't gonna help you to get into the kingdom of God. All the riches and all the things that a man can achieve in this world, if you don't do it in the name of Jesus and he's not in you and you in him, it's all going to be lost along with you. All of these things that we see now is going to be done away with. And that resurrection, Jesus come back and he was shown unto many of them at one time, 500. Many of them. And the last one he was seen was Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul was an educated man, but he was playing with the wrong team. But when he come face to face with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he found out that what he was doing wasn't right, and he got his act together and he went into the wilderness. He didn't go out to some seminar and learn how to preach that gospel behind a tomb of a dead God and learn it behind some other man that teaching him all he knew and maybe didn't know much to start with. But he went out into the wilderness, and there Jesus gave him the revelation, and he come, and after so many years, he come to see if the apostles was preaching the same thing, and they was all on the same track, my friend. They were all preaching the same thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Lord of glory. I want you to think about it. They was all preaching the same gospel. There's only one, but yet and still you can find others being preached. You've been around as many miles across this country, up and down across the roads as I have, you'll find that you can run across a lot of stuff. I've heard people tell me, say, I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not. Well, that's the devil made that man believe that lie, and he's the father of it. You can't get there except through Jesus Christ. You can't go there and not wanting to go. It makes no difference what you say, but it's what's said upon that day. If you've done it as the Lord had commanded you to do, and you've been faithful to him, you'll hear him say, enter in. But if you hadn't been faithful to him and got your sins under the blood, and he says depart, then that's depart. Ain't nobody going to get up and say, we want a second chance. We want to have a new trial. It's all going to be over with, my friend. Them that makes it into the kingdom ain't going to want a new trial anyway, because all of their troubles and trials will be over. They'll be into the kingdom, and there they'll be with him forevermore. And that's what I'm working for. That's what I'm hoping that I can persuade some of you to read your Bible, to listen to what it has to say. Read it with intensity. Read it and believe and trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and allow him to come into your life and make you a part of the kingdom of God. Make you joint heirs into the kingdom with Jesus Christ and with all them that call upon his name in faith and believing and trusting in him. Oh, my friend, I heard a lot of people call the name of the Lord in foul language and everything. I don't think that's going to count. Not for salvation. Oh, but my friend, it's liable to blaspheming his name can get you cast out. But calling upon his name through repentance, trusting and believing in him can get you into the kingdom of God. But you got to repent. Oh, when Jesus rose out of the tomb, oh, my friend, a lot of people has got all this notions of ideas about celebrating his birthday. There's no place in the scriptures that talks about celebrating his birthday or his resurrection. I thank God that he came into this world, born of a virgin, and he came in here and as God manifested in the flesh. I thank God for it. I believe it. But he didn't come there as they said he did, and they put him in the same category there with Santa Claus and all these things. The Christmas trees and they're giving away. Well, if it's his birthday, why don't you give him praise and honor instead of giving your presents to everybody else? Give him praise and honor. That's all he asked. But you give your presents to everybody. At a person's birthday, you give it to presents to them, not to everybody else, but that's the way Santa Claus plays it. I want you to know that Santa Claus is going to be the downfall of a lot of people. But I want you to know that Jesus is going to be the uplifting of them that are righteous. He's going to be the one that's going to come back for them that have made themselves ready. And he's going to bring them into the place that he said he would go on to prepare for them. And he'll bring them there, and there we'll be forever with him. But, oh, if you want to go, you can go. It's up to you. If you don't want to go, just don't do nothing. Just keep on going your same old way. And when the time comes to be enter in or cast out and you hear him say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, then it's going to be too late. just like them people was at Noah's time. After the door was shut and the lightning flashed and the thunder roared and the water began to fall, it was too late. But no doubt they was hollering at Noah to let them in. But Noah didn't shut the door and he couldn't open it. Oh, but everything that breathed the breath of life died in that. But everything that has a soul is going to be cast into hell if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's plain, but it's truth. I'm after winning you for Jesus. He even made the statement himself. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should repent. Ben, I'm asking you to come to Jesus today while that you still have the opportunity. When that door of opportunity closes and your eyes close in that old sleepless death, there's no opportunity no more. You can't go and cry out to God in that way. Well, Jonah cried out in the belly of the whale. Jonah wasn't dead, but he was almost. But he prayed a prayer of sincerity. He repented. Although the people of Nineveh was a wicked bunch of people, they made their money off of robbing and killing other nations and everything. And Jonah knew this, and he wanted to see them destroyed. But when he went in out of the fish's belly and went into Nineveh preaching that God was going to overthrow it, even to the king came down off his throne and put on sackcloth and ashes. Even to the donkeys in the stalls was put sackcloth on them and everything, and all repented. Several years after that, Nineveh lost out and they was destroyed by the Chaldeans in one thing or another. My friend, are you going to come into the Lord and stay with Him? Or are you going to come and just pretend and think that the grace of God is going to just carry you right on through with all of your sins and everything hung on you? I'm afraid you're going to be mistaken, my friend. In fact, I know you're going to be mistaken. Because some no sin going to enter into that place that Jesus said He would go and prepare. But when He sets up His kingdom, and all the things that be done away with, even to the devil's going to be thrown into his own domains where he was built for him. All of them, the false prophets, liars and cheaters, murderers, and all them that's going to be cast into hell. And hell is going to be sealed up. If God had to seal the devil up in hell during Noah's time, wouldn't have had him no more. But He didn't. He rode across on the tide. And now He's still here tormenting people, trying to persuade them, oh, my way is the best way. Have a good old time. Oh, there ain't nothing to this here business, that preacher preaching to you about this and that and one thing and another. He's just lying to you. Well, my friend, if I'm lying to you, you ought to know for sure that he's lying to you without any question about it. If you read your Word of God, you'll find out that the devil was a liar from the beginning. And he's the father of all lies. He's the deceiver. He'll bring forth death and destruction upon you because it's in his heart to destroy what God had created in his own image. And that's the soul of man. He's after destroying it. He himself wanted to be exalted even above that which was God and put himself upon above God, and he got cast out of heaven. He's still trying, and he's the God of this world, and he'll offer you a lot of things to get you and persuade you to come his way and vote for him. It's like a crooked politician. They'll do all kinds of gimmicks and bring out all kinds of lies and everything else to get you to vote for him, and then when they get into office, they show you what they really gonna do. It's been done before. It's happened all along. And my friends, when it comes, the Bible says a house that is divided will not stand. And we got a divided house here in this United States. Used to be South and North, but now they fought the war there with it and brought them together. Now we're on one nation under God and one flag. But we've got a Democratic Party and we got a Republican Party, and all they do is bicker and fight with one another. Nobody gets nothing done, and God's going to put an end to all this confusion, and He's going to bring in righteousness when He returns. turns. And if you're not on his side, you're going to be left out into the cold. And that's what I'm trying to persuade you to believe, that Jesus is our only hope. All these things that are happening, my friend, all the signs in the heavens and the earth beneath and in the oceans, the waves roaring out and all these earthquakes, wars and everything. It was in the Word of God. It was spoken about. He said, but when you see these things, the generation that sees these things come to pass, look up and rejoice, for the redemption draweth nigh. I'm looking up today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because Jesus is on his way. Oh, he prevailed there at Calvary, came for our sins, died for them, took them on him, nailed them to his cross. And he's going to come back one day. And to them that have made themselves ready, he's coming for a church, a bride, if you will. He's coming and seeking that which was lost, and he's coming back for them that have made themselves ready, and he's going to usher them into the kingdom that we're in that he went to prepare. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, to where I am, there you may be also. My friend, do you want to spend eternity in hell? A lot of people says, well, once you fall into a fire like that, it's all over with. All the soul never dies. Everything about you is going to be the pain, the agony, the thirst, and everything is going to be right there. That is the soul of man, all the essence of your body. And my friend, he said it would be tormented day and night. And the smoke of the torment would go up forever and ever and ever. But all but them that are joined into the kingdom of God and been born again will go forth there, and the Lamb will lead them into the green pastures and in the still waters of life and bring forth there. And he said there was John recorded that there was a river that run in the midst of the kingdom there, and on each side of it was a trees grew for the bearing the fruit each season there, and the leaves was for the healing of the nation. Do you want that, or do you want to die and go into the place of torment with the devil? It's up to you, my friend. I do all I can do to persuade you to turn to Jesus before it's too late. And that's all I can do. God ain't going to make you serve him. I can't make you serve him. But I'll tell you one thing, when it comes time and when you looking at the end and everything's gone to pot, you're going to wish you had her, but it'd be too late. But as I've said before, try Jesus out. And if he ain't all that he said he is, and if he can't do what you can go back, the devil will take you back anytime you want to go back. He ain't proud. My friend, he'll take you back anytime. But I want you to know that Jesus says, come unto me, all of ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And is there any place in the scripture where you see that the devil has ever promised you anything? Oh, my friend, read your Bible. See what God has to say and turn unto him. The church left their first love. They didn't lose it. They left it. They sought after the things of this world. They've got more of the world in the church. Instead of the church going out into the world and winning souls, they bring in the world into the church. But my friend, the judgment is going to start at the house of God, and God is judging it today. And his kingdom is going to come forth, and them that have sought after him their whole heart, he's going to let them enter in. But them that are just a slipshod and everything and come up short, they're going to miss out on the best thing of life. See, I got the best deal when God saved me. I got the best end of the deal. Because now I'm a child of the King. Been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm a joint heirs with Jesus in the kingdom of God because of that repented message that he preached. John, people at one time said you had to be dressed in a suit to preach the Word of God. If that was the case, John the Baptist was lost out. He didn't have a chance. because he come wrapped up with a camel hair with a leather belt around him, preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand and to repent and be baptized. But a bunch of snakes went out there one day and wanted to get in his water. He said, no, bring me some fruits of repentance before you get in my creek. So, friend, it's time we repent. Get right with God. See, our time is just about gone, but we want you to know that we love you. God loves you. He died for you. We want you to have a part into the kingdom of God. That's why I preach it like I do. And I want you to think about it. Write to us, if you will. Let us know what you think, because God knows my heart. And it's really what he thinks. But nevertheless, we'd be glad to hear from you. So let us hear from you from time to time. And till then, next week, to take time for Jesus, put him on your mind. Take time for him each day and give him some of your time.
Read the book.
And read the book. And you'll be glad you did when it's all over with. So may God richly bless you, my friend. Until next week, amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears